Fred Powell, a Catholic leader in North America, someone I greatly respect. He wrote recently, he said this, "After 28 years of full-time ministry, I still get nervous when sharing the faith with others. My liver quivers, and I'm tempted to remain silent or just let the moment pass by." When I read that he said that, I was reminded of how many fears I still have about evangelization. And evangelization means proclaiming Jesus to other people. In December, the whole parish, we try to invite a lot of the people we love to Alpha. And Alpha is this series of sessions exploring Christianity. I invited some friends, some people I want to invite, but I didn't invite everyone I wanted to invite. Now, why is that? Partly, it was because it wasn't the right timing. Good. But there's a bad part of the reason is that part of me is still afraid. I'm still afraid, what happens if this kind of is misunderstood? What if I damage the relationship? I'm afraid of taking the next step. So I have all these fears about evangelization still as a priest, and a lot of it's still in my head. If I think that the other person is closed, then I'm very hesitant. But if I think that they're open, then I'm very relaxed, I'm confident. What are your reasons that you hesitate in evangelization? Today, we're going to reflect on all three readings to see what Jesus is offering us. And the first reading, it offers us the model of what evangelization should be. So the reading says, "Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. The crowd with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed. And many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured. So there was great joy in that city." So two things are happening here that's going to be the model of our evangelization: words and witness. So the first thing St. Philip does is he uses words. It says, it's very simple, but very powerful. It says he proclaimed the Christ to them. He proclaimed the Christ to them. He proclaimed a person. That's very interesting. You see, Christianity, it's not primarily about being a good person. Christianity is primarily about a person. You know how a lot of people say that religions are all the same? They say, well, all religions have the same moral values. Okay, well, first of all, that's just not correct. All religions don't have the same morality. But the second problem with that is that Christianity is not about morality. Christianity is like what we said, it's about a person, and specifically for us, it's about our relationship with that person. So whenever we talk to people about our faith, about Christianity, if we don't mention Jesus, we're missing the most important part. We've talked before about the fundamental message of Christianity, and we use a Greek word. It's called the kerygma. We've talked about this a number of times. What's the kerygma? What's the fundamental message of Christianity? Four simple parts to it. God the Father created us out of love so that we could have a relationship with him. Second part, we separate ourselves from our Father and by our own choice, and that's what we call sin. Number three, the Father sent his Son to bring us home. He died out of love for us. And number four, we're invited to receive that invitation so that we can rebuild our relationship with the Father. Okay, you see in that message, the primary thing is not about morality. The primary emphasis is on all these persons. It's about this relationship. So here are two very simple ways we often get this wrong. If we are parents, when we talk to children about Catholicism, about our faith, we talk about the natural parts, the horizontal, the human parts. So we talk about be a good person. We talk about giving thanks. We talk about helping people. All good, but it's not the essence. When we talk to our kids, we have to talk about the supernatural, the vertical. So we have to talk about the Eucharist. That's the greatest gift Jesus given to us, the gift of himself. He's truly present there. That's where we're united with Jesus, in the Eucharist. And that other vertical part, Christianity is not primarily just trying to be a good person. That's too easy. Christianity is about becoming like Jesus, imitating him. The second way we often get this wrong is we don't talk about the persons of the Trinity. So quick example, I had a friend who once told me, he had another friend, And this friend always talked about God, but never about Father, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. What was my friend's point? His point was that his friend always knew God in the abstract. He never related to God as the Father. He didn't know him. He didn't relate to Jesus. He didn't relate to the Holy Spirit. And so for us, well, we know Jesus, so we should talk about him. I told you once before, I do these home fitness programs. I watch videos and I imitate what they do, right? And so a few years ago when Father Felix was here, when he is a seminarian, at that time, just Felix. So I said, hey, Felix, you want to work out with me and Tony? And he started laughing because Tony's the guy in the video. And he started laughing. He's like, he said, you talk like Tony's in the room. And yeah, it was a joke. Well, that's the point. But when I talk about Jesus, I talk like he's really there. Because he is really there. That's how I relate to him. So in the same way, when we talk about Jesus, well, when we talk about God, we should talk about Jesus. Why? Because he's really there and we really know him. Okay, so that's the first part of St. Philip's model of evangelization. He proclaimed Christ. He used words. The second part is witness. He actually loved the people he was trying to reach. So the first reading says, unclean spirits came out of many who were possessed, and many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured. So St. Philip wasn't just using words. He was actually loving them in a way that they could understand. Exorcisms still happen today. Miraculous healings still happen today. You might want to try exorcising a few people at your work. You might want to try some exorcisms on your boss. But it's not only that. We also exorcise, we do exorcisms when we exorcise people of their fear, maybe of their depression, of their loneliness, of their anxieties. And when it talks about healing and curing, we have to cure people's hearts and their souls, as well as their bodies. People need to feel Jesus and experience him in a concrete way. And so we always have to love them more. We have to be a better friend. We have to love them, listen to them, challenge them. We have to encourage them.